you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Point one. We're all made of the same stuff, and that stuff is clay. And where did I get that? Well, from 2 Corinthians 4. Paul says, we have this treasure. He's referring to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which is the preceding verse. And in verse 7, he says, we have this treasure, that knowledge of the glory of God, in jars of clay. You're looking at a clay pot, and every one of you is a clay pot. And I lived with Indians who made clay pots, and nobody was ever interested in the pot because they all looked exactly alike, and they were all the same design, and they were all made of the same old clay that came out of the same old river. The only thing people were interested in was what was inside. They did their cooking in the pots, of course. But Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And the only reason that God gives us this in these jars of clay, why does he humiliate himself to the point of entrusting to us this priceless treasure when he knows what a poor job we're going to do of it and what a very bad job we do of setting the example that we ought to be setting, knowing what we know? Well, he explains why he does it, that the all-surpassing power might be seen to be of God and not of us. I have nothing that I haven't received. Absolutely nothing. My life, my breath, my body, my brains, my intelligence, my weaknesses, all of these things are part of what it means to be who I am in a fallen world. And God gives us the privilege of bearing in jars of clay this tremendous treasure. So let's stop imagining that any of us is a special case. If there's one thing that does discourage me when people write me letters about my books and say that they'd read this book and they got a whole lot out of it, but, and then they always have a special case that the book didn't cover, especially my book, Passion and Purity. Oh, I couldn't tell you how many special cases I've read about, and I have some of them that go to 25 typewritten, single-spaced pages. Passion and Purity, for those of you who don't know, is a book about the love story that Jim Elliot and I experienced, falling in love in college, and it took 5.5 years before the Lord gave us a green light to be engaged and married. We had no commitment to anyone but him. But I tried to articulate in that book what it means to bring unfulfilled desire under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I get hundreds of letters from both men and women telling me their special case stories. Well, you see, I've got this really neat relationship, or I did have this really neat relationship, and everything's fallen apart. And so what am I supposed to do with these feelings? Or how far can we go? Or is there a special length of time that you have to wait? Questions which obviously I either tried to answer in the book as best I could, or I don't know the answer to. So anyway, let's stop thinking of ourselves as special cases or specially complex. You know, there's a great lure and lust that would make each of us feel, well, I'm really a very complex person. My husband doesn't understand me. Well, so what else is new? Do you understand your husband? My pastor is not really sympathetic enough. I think he makes light of my troubles. Problem is, your pastor's heard them all before, too. We don't understand each other. We don't even understand ourselves. We're not a special case. But And I don't understand your troubles, but I do know the one who understands them. And there is one who understands them perfectly. And as Evelyn Underhill said to one of her correspondents, just remember that you are quite an ordinary scrap of the universe. And I thought, I needed to hear that. I'm quite an ordinary scrap of the universe, and I have not got any troubles that God hasn't heard of before. And everybody's banging away on his door every day saying, well, Lord, I'm a special case. And you haven't covered this in your word. The truth is, he has. So even though every one of us in this room is an ordinary scrap of the universe and a clay pot, we have a priceless treasure. And that treasure is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9 is what I have just read. I didn't read verses 8 and 9. And here's Paul describing some of the things that he's been through. We are hard pressed on every side, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And here I love Philip's translation that says, knocked down, but never knocked out. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. That's verse 10. I won't go on to there. But Paul is being very frank. Yes, I know what pressure is. I know what persecution is like. And it is Paul, it is the Apostle Paul, with his apostolic authority, as well as his human experience, who is saying these things to you and me, and things which apply to every single one of us. And if ever you're tempted to say, why me, Lord? Just change that to why not me? Do I think I'm such a special case that I don't need the discipline of suffering? That God has overlooked me because I'm way out here in a corner and poor little me, nobody ever notices me, and I don't have any talents, and I can't get up on a platform, and I don't write books, and I don't speak, and I can't do anything in the church. And so I've been overlooked, even by the one who made me. Why not me? Every one of us, including the Apostle Paul, needs these little troubles. We need these little troubles. Because what does it do? It reminds us that we're nothing but clay pots. Who did we think we were to start with? And that there is a Savior. There is a refuge. There is a helper. There is a Redeemer. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble, whether it is big ones or these little ones. And the point that Paul is making, of course, is that all of them are little by comparison with that weight of glory. Let's go on to point two. First one was, we're all made of the same stuff, clay. The second one, little deaths. Little deaths. And that takes us to verse 10. In 2 Corinthians 4, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us and life in you. Think of the people who have had the most profound influence in your spiritual life. Perhaps through books. Many of my spiritual tutors are those that I have never known in the flesh, only through their books. C.S. Lewis, Amy Carmichael, George MacDonald, and many others. Every one of them has suffered. The people who have died the deaths are the ones in whom the life of Jesus is most visibly manifest. And Paul explains it right here. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, the saying no to my small preferences, my glad acceptance of the dirty little job that nobody else wants, and why should I do it? Well, why shouldn't I? because I'm a servant. I'm his. And he did the dirty job, didn't he? Got down on his knees and washed those disciples' feet. So it's a little death every time I say no to myself. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us and life in you. And if you are going to cooperate in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, you have to say no to yourself. And therefore, if you're going to learn to say no to yourself, you need these little troubles. They humble us. They remind us that we're clay. We're creatures. We're not autonomous. We're not omnipotent. We need help. How can I know the truth of that 46th Psalm, God is our refuge, if I'd never needed a refuge? You're looking at a woman who has needed a refuge time and time again. And how could I know the truth of Isaiah 43, verse 2? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Could I know the validity of that promise if I'd never been through any deep waters, or any hot fires, or any dark valleys?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.